John 13, verses 2 to 17. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. I'm not going to say much upon this. This is a series of brief discourses. But in a sense, I don't want to say much on it. The punchline comes in verse 17. Jesus says, now that you know these things, and I think we know them very well indeed, you will be blessed if you do them, not if you discuss them, not if you preach them, not if you write about them, declare them and all the rest of it. It's the doing of it. It's the doing of it. It's the practical obedience here, the practical consequence of this episode. Right, the evening meal was being served. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And then this staggering word, so he got up from the meal. Though God the Father had put all things under his power, though he knew that he had come from God, though he knew that he was going back in glory to God, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, took some water, and began to wash his disciples' dirty feet. Amazing, is it not? The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the everlasting God, Emmanuel, God with us, on his knees, washing his disciples' dirty feet. It's the time of the feast. There's no servant there. The water pot is there. Who's going to wash the disciples' feet? Who's going to wash all their feet? We know that the disciples were prone to quarrel about who's the greatest. I wonder if they were thinking, well, who's going to do it? I don't know. Who's going to wash these feet? I'm not going to do it. And Christ does it. He washes the disciples' feet. The lesson is plain. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be truly happy, blessed, if you do them. The Lord, the teacher, taking the menial position. Should we literally wash each other's feet, brother and sister? There are some who think so. I don't agree. I certainly think the papist nonsense of the Pope ceremonially, as it were, ritually washing a beggar's feet once a year or whatever is a lot of nonsense. The institution of it like that. No. It's the willingness to take the menial, the humble, the lowly place. It's the inversion of the world. The church today too often copies the world. Power, status, empire building, name, kudos, title, hierarchy, all that's dismissed here, abolished by Christ. Spiritual promotion is by going down. Spiritual glory is by being lowly. It's the menial, the being nothing. How many times we get this in Scripture? Gideon had too many men in his army. God has chosen the weak, the foolish, the poor. Do not call each other master and lord and sir and all the rest of it. And yet the churches copy the world. We have our titles. If you want to see more on this, see my book, The Pastor, Does He Exist? The Lord is abolishing that here. The lesson is plain. It's in meekness and humility, following our Lord Jesus Christ, that true glory comes. But there is a second principle running here. There is the practical, the daily literal, menial, working for one another, brothers and sisters, doing all we can to serve Christ and serve each other. The servant is the way to get promotion in the kingdom by serving others. May God give us grace to be truly blessed, truly happy by knowing these things and doing them. But there's a second great principle here. All this is symbolic and shadowy. When he comes to Peter, when Christ comes to Peter, Peter says, "No, you're not washing me." And Jesus says, "Well, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me." So Peter says, "Well, wash everything. Give me a complete wash." "No," said Jesus, "you misunderstood. The person who's had a bath only needs to have a wash in his feet." The lesson is plain here. Christ is going to the cross. He will shed his blood. This water here has nothing to do with baptism. It's all symbolic. It's all a picture. Christ will shed his blood, and he will wash his people from their sins. All who believe in him are perfected forever, forgiven all sins, and perfectly righteous in the sight of God. Romans 8:1, Hebrews 10, oh, many places, Hebrews 9, oh, and so on and so on. Over and over again we get this in Scripture. The believer is perfect in Christ, fully cleansed, fully washed, fully righteous. If you want to see more of my arguments on that, you can find them in my book, Fivefold Sanctification. The believer is perfect in the sight of God, sinless. But he and she needs daily cleansing. Though we are saints in the sight of God, we're still sinners in ourselves. And we need this daily application of the blood of Christ. This moment by moment application of the blood of Christ. The continuous washing in the blood of Christ. All that is clear. But there is a word here for the unbeliever also. Verse 8. At the end of verse 8, Jesus answered and said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Are you listening? "Unless I wash you," says Christ. And he says it to you. "If I knew your name, I would put it there. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." I'll personalize it. Jesus says to me, "Unless I wash you, David, you, David, have no part with me. You have no part with me." Are you washed in the blood of Christ? If you're an unbeliever, no, you're not. Judas was sitting here. He was going through this, but he was not part of it. That point is made very clear earlier in the passage. Judas is going to betray Christ. He's not really one of the disciples. He's nominally such. Are you a nominal Christian? Have you never been washed in the blood of Christ? If you're not washed in the blood of Christ, you have no part with Christ. You may be in the church, you may be in the pulpit, you may be high in the church, but it's being in Christ and having part with Christ and being with Christ now and forever that counts. If you're not part of Christ, and you don't have part with Christ, then you'll be parted from Christ, and that will be everlasting misery. Oh, don't go there. Let this passage speak to you. It speaks to us as believers. It challenges us to be humble in our service of each other, lowly in our minds, esteeming other better than ourselves, Philippians 2. It teaches us that we are perfect in the sight of God in Christ, but we need to be daily cleansed, hourly cleansed, moment by moment cleansed from all our sin. But it speaks to you, unbeliever. It speaks to you now. Oh, be washed in the blood of Christ. Cry out to him to wash you in his blood, forgive you all your sins, and you will have everlasting part with Jesus and never be parted from him.